opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Here we go. Hour number three of the Rob Brown Show back on the radio. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you, 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E is the number. Text line, call in line, both of those, same number, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. Texas said, Rob, why, we should have a trapezoid of excellence for college football. Also, why are people making things so complicated? The best teams that play the best football should have a spot at the football title. We can figure out which teams they are scientifically. No more freebies.
They do. There's never been a year where someone thought that the best team in all of football didn't make a playoff or didn't make. I mean, it always works out that way, especially in college football.
I wouldn't say that there's no years that people think a team worthy of a playoff spot didn't get one. What I would say is, again, to me, in an ideal world, because sports are supposed to be where all the things that we are upset about in real life stop for 3 hours on a Saturday or a Sunday or a Thursday or a Monday or sometimes a Wednesday or a Tuesday or whatever. For 3 hours, the world stops being a place full of inequality. Because on the field, for 60 minutes, two teams have the same opportunity to win a football game and represent me or somebody else or whatever. Now, you do have to come into it ignoring that some college football programs are worth $1 billion and some are worth two sticks of gum. But the boys on the field, however they got there, wherever they came from, have the same opportunity to win the football game. Those two teams in that moment. So, again, not to belabor the point from the last topic, but I just don't understand a world outside of money, I do not understand a world in which you would willingly say two conferences get half the field, everybody else can fight for the other half. It just doesn't compute to me. Actually, it's not even true. It's not even the rest gets to compete for the other half, because half of the remaining half is guaranteed to two other teams or two other conferences. And then there are basically four spots left.
You're doing Steiner math. Half of the half is.
Steiner math is a core foundation of buddyism, my economic philosophy to college football. So, yes, it is simply a matter of I want to see the best 16 teams in college football compete for a natty. That's it, that's all it comes down to. And I think when you start doing automatic qualifiers and auto bids and seedings and blah, 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 I think everything that you add is one step further away from the best 16 teams. It's just one step further away. Like I would even make the argument that the concept of the five highest rated conference champions go is a step away from the best 16 teams. Why? Because we may have a 12-0 team that loses to a 9-3 dark horse that sneaks back door into a conference championship and pulls an upset. And that 12-0 team is clearly a better team that just had a bad day. This is also why I prefer championships that are played in series, not in one-off games. And you can't do that with football. I understand it. But the reason I love and believe that the college baseball postseason is the best postseason in sports is because regionals are spectacular. One team gets the benefit of hosting them because they outperformed everybody. But at the end of the day, if you go to a regional, you have to win out games. And if you drop two, you're gone. And then we do it again in the Super. Best of three. Which means if you send your ace out there and he just has his worst performance and you lose that game because your starting pitcher has been great all year, screws it up, you're not done. You can still bounce back and win with pitchers two and three. You have a longer shot. Then we go to Omaha. Same situation. Like, you got to win. You lose twice, you're done. You can have a bad day. It's going to make it tougher for you. But series championships, to me, are just better. Texter said, let's see here. Rob, 134-team playoff. Lonzo feels it. Rob, you will come around. Texter, I say this with great respect. You have been texting about this concept of a 134-team playoff for a long time. I need to know how you set that up. Because is it everybody starts, and if you lose in week one, you just don't play football that year? Or do we say once you lose a game, you go over and you just go play a bunch of meaningless exhibition games and we work it down? That's not a thing, Tech. Respectfully, that's not a thing. For the same reason that I get to a point where I'm looking at Charlie Baker, as he said last week, that he is looking to a 72 or 76 team March Madness. And at some point, we're watering down the product here. I honestly believe there is too big of a field for a college football playoff. I think 16 is probably the biggest I'm willing to accept. And even at 16, I don't expect we are going to see too many 14, 15, 16 seeds knocking off too many 3-2-1 seeds. I don't think it's going to happen. I think you're more likely to see, like, you know, 7-5 or 7-4, whatever numbers. I don't know. You get it, though. At some point, you water down the product. And I think 16 is the right number. But I want them to be the best 16 teams. Texas said, Rob, the Browns traded for Deshaun and paid him when he was going through the bull crap. That was a terrible move. Yeah. So we were talking about Shador and Deion in the last hour. And I pointed out that I think Shador landing in Cleveland, despite the fact that they got a fully loaded QB room, was honestly probably the best possible landing spot for Shador Sanders. And my reasoning behind that was very simple. I think the Cleveland Browns, number one, have brought in QB competition for Shador Sanders, or I guess maybe brought in Shador Sanders to be the QB competition, but brought in QB competition for Shador Sanders, and they brought in the three archetypes of the NFL quarterback. Seasoned, successful veteran who's clearly way past his prime, but is still got some spin in him. Rookie quarterback trying to prove that he's the right pick, Dylan Gabriel. And vet who maybe hasn't had a ton of success, but you're willing to go, hey, maybe it was the other franchise. Maybe it was their franchise. Maybe it wasn't him. Maybe he goes to a new place, new digs, new scenery, new surroundings, new talent, and he breaks out. Kenny Pickett. But the other thing is, the Cleveland Browns, more than any other team in the NFL, are the one team that has showed that they don't give a crap about the baggage that comes with you if you're good at football because of the Deshaun Watson story. Now, in fairness, the Cleveland Browns were not the only team trying to get Deshaun Watson up out of Houston. The Atlanta Falcons were in that mix. There were rumors that the Carolina Panthers were in that mix. There were rumors that Mighty New Orleans Saints were in that mix. They weren't the only team. But it's kind of like they're the team that got caught. They're the team that got caught. They caught hold of the bag. They got caught with Deshaun Watson. And therefore, they are the team that is going to take the crap for it. But they have proven, whether other teams were willing to or not, they have proven that they don't care about the baggage that is attached to you. They don't care about the baggage that comes along with you. They very simply care, can you show up and help us play? They thought Deshaun Watson would. They were willing to not only overlook the Fit 11 lawsuits lined up against him, but they were willing to give him $250 million, all guaranteed up front to do it. So if Deion is going to keep getting out there and keep talking and keep getting in front of a camera and keep saying things about Shador, at least Shador is in a place that clearly does not care about the baggage. Hey, man, if we believe you can help us win at QB1, if we believe you're the dude at QB1 that can get her done, you're QB1. That's just what there is to it. And like I said, I think this is the best possible landing spot for Shador because of that. Now, I'm also going to say, on behalf of Shador, Deion, shut it down for a while, bud. Like, maybe just go talk about the Colorado Buffaloes, right? Shut it down for a minute. Because we, Sportslandia, have moved on. We've moved on past the Shador controversy.
All right, so you're on a podcast or you're being interviewed. They're talking to you about other stuff, and they bring that up. How does he handle that and it not look like that he's trying to not answer the question?
Ooh, let's role play. You be Asante Samuel, I'll be Deion Sanders.
Well, I thought he was on Logan Paul's.
He was on his too, but the comments that brought this.
I'd rather be Logan Paul.
All right, fine. Be that loser. Go ahead.
I'm not a loser.
Deion, dude. Sup, dude? Come to the podcast, bro.
Hi, I'm a legitimate professional wrestler that makes people angry. Because I'm a legitimate professional wrestler taking people's spots.
No. They're not mad at him because he's a good heel. They're mad at him because he's a bleep person.
Okay, anyway. Some people don't.
Anyway, that's the point.
No, that's your point. And I'm doing the interviewing, not you. Deion, how are the Colorado Buffaloes looking this year? Yeah, you have to replace a lot of players, including one of the best two-way players of all time. How's that going to go?
Yeah, I mean, listen, anytime you have a guy like Travis Hunter and you know how important he was to us, how important it was to the team, how tremendous of a football player he was, anytime you have a two-way player like that step away from the program, you're not just going to find the next guy. So now we got to look inside that locker room and say, who are the guys that can fill that role? Who are the guys that can step up and take over different responsibilities Travis had so that instead of saying, oh, this is the one guy that's going to carry us in spots, we can say, here are the guys that are the leaders of this franchise. But we're like any other college football program. We've got the transfer portal. You know I love me a portal. I'm working some guys in. I've got some guys out. We think we've got some real good pieces. We made some coaching changes we're really happy about. I think people are going to be excited about the Colorado Buffaloes in 2025.
All right, some of your players were projected to go really high in the NFL draft, and one in particular, a former quarterback, took a nosedive thanks to bad publicity. How is he handling that? And have you had any words of advice to him going forward?
Yeah, no, look, I know that people want me to say stuff about him so that they can turn it into clips. And I get that. That's part of the job. That's part of the responsibilities. That's part of what comes along with being not just the head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes, but being Deion and being Shador's dad. And so I get it. But here's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say anything. Shador Sanders has been drafted. Shador Sanders is in the National Football League. Shador Sanders is on a football team that's looking for a quarterback. And Shador Sanders now has the opportunity to go out there and earn his keep. And at the end of the day, that's all we want. We wanted the opportunity for my boy to go out there to earn his keep, and now he's got that shot. So as far as I'm concerned—
Well, let me interrupt you here. You say we a lot. Why are you saying we so much? Isn't he the one who's playing?
He is.
Why are you saying we?
He is, because he's my boy. He's my son. He's my kid. He's my guy. Like, I think like any father wants success for their kid, and any father is willing to go as far as they can go to give their kid the best shot. So, and we have been, let's not pretend, stop Logan, you're very rude repeatedly.
Well, I just want to say, you know, I know we're here talking about Colorado, but you are prime, and so we got to talk about is the reason why, do you believe, the reason why such scrutiny is put on your son because of you and how some people don't like you?
I mean, look, maybe so, maybe not. It doesn't matter. He's on an NFL roster. He's in training camp. He's gone through rookie minicamp. He's going through OTAs right now, and at the end of them, either Shador Sanders will be starting for the Cleveland Browns will be a reserve, a backup for the Cleveland Browns, or he won't be on the Cleveland Browns. And it's up to Shador to go out there and earn all of this. It's up to him to step into that locker room and either become the player that we think he can become or not, and we'll find out what he does. But there is no benefit gained for me as either his college coach or his dad. There is no benefit in me talking about those reports. It's over. It's done. It's in the past. He's on a team. He's got an opportunity to prove the doubters wrong. And whatever I can do to help him do that, I'm going to.
I will say, and this is just me saying this, that neither one of us are nearly as cool as the two people that were role-playing. And you probably don't agree with that. And
no, I'm very cool with Logan Paul.
We made it sound unvery. Logan probably asked better questions than me. So, I mean, you know. What do I know about interviewing?
All of that being said, do you see how I got through that?
I gave you no clickbait? I saw that you said we. And that was one of your big problems in the first hour, second hour, whenever we were talking about it. And you said we. That's why I questioned you about the we.
No, that was not my problem. My problem was...
He's pointing, by the way, for those of
you who can't
see it.
This is a generic point. This is a Bill Clinton point.
Oh, no.
This is a non-specific, non-descript point.
My heart failed a couple of those.
And for the record, I'm pointing up, at you.
All I hear is pew, pew,
so,
pew.
My problem with the we was not that Dion referred to him and Shador as we. I don't have an issue with that. My problem was him saying, we have made it. We have accomplished. We have achieved. Shador, as an NFL quarterback, which is what he is now, has not accomplished a damn thing. He's accomplished nothing.
Well, he is an NFL quarterback. He accomplished a lot as a college player, and he did make it to an NFL team.
Right.
So that's an accomplishment in itself.
As an NFL player, he has not accomplished a damn thing yet. Okay. He's done nothing.
You're right.
Making it to the roster.
As a dad or the coach of a player, he should never defend his son. He should just deflect. Well, you got to talk to Shador about that. That's not how parenthood works. That's not how a proud coach works. You're going to defend your former player. You're going to defend your son against these attacks, whether they're real or not real. You're going to defend him. That's how you're going to do. He's not doing anything other than what a normal dad or former coach does. If you go talk to former coaches of players who are under fire for some weird reason, you go talk to them, they're going to support the player. I don't see the outrage. I don't see why there's outrage unless you just don't like either one.
Nope. See, you're not. What I'm not going to let you do is say, oh, if you have a bad thing to say, you don't like them. That's obviously not true. Deion Sanders is one of three autographs hanging in the wall in there. I clearly do not dislike Deion Sanders. What I am saying is...
I'm trying to get Logan Paul hate over here.
You're making his pursuit of his goal, objective, whatever, to be QB1. You're making it harder. You're making it harder. You are making it where reports that matter
for... You're not, though,
because
you yourself have pointed out how Cleveland doesn't care about all that stuff. So he's not making it any harder for him. He may be making it harder in the court of public opinion, which Cleveland, as you pointed out, doesn't care about.
You had these reports that mattered for a week 2 months ago, and they have gone away. Nobody cares about them. And now here we are in June, and you have brought them back to the forefront. Why? Why did you feel the need to bring it back to the forefront? You could have just glanced over the question and gone, nah, I ain't worried about it. That was 2 months ago. We don't care anymore. This is like when a politician gets on stage and reminds everybody of the scandal from 10 years ago. And we go, oh, that's right. You are a piece of crap. I forgot about that. I forgot that you're a bad guy. Right? Same thing. Except Deion's not a bad guy. He's just bringing the weight and attention of the NFL world down on his kid unnecessarily. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We have been talking about, well, everybody's been talking about NIL since NIL became a thing. Wow, that was a terribly timed hiccup. I am falling apart today. My back is killing me. My right shoulder feels like I threw a 9-inning complete game last night, and now I have the hiccups. Like, come on, man. I'm a stub toe away from just calling it a day.
Just like a baseball player. Wow.
All right, you're done.
Player was that?
Unnecessary.
Because you know...
Turf toe is a real thing. It's
no,
very
it
dangerous.
Was a stub toe. It wasn't turf toe. There's a difference between turf toe and stub
toe. You can't push turf, off into a throw with a stub toe.
No, turf toe I get, man. That's nasty. But a stub toe, we all stub toes. I've like break toes all the time. So, I mean...
Yeah, but we sit down. For our jobs.
We also stand up.
Repeatedly. Mostly. Dave Sampson is a former president of the Miami Marlins. He is a longtime sports executive. And now, like everyone else in America, he has a podcast. Dave Sampson, I'm going to keep it a buck. I heard this clip and I'm like...
By the way, real quick, we love podcasts. You can hear our podcast on the Odyssey app. You should check that out.
Oh, for sure.
You download it free. Yeah.
I'm big on Dale Jr.'s podcast right now. I'm enjoying it greatly. So Dave Sampson's pod, which I have to say, I really only know from his social media clips, but I like a lot of what he's talking about. Went off on not Cooper Flagg, but the fact that we found out about a week ago that Cooper Flagg was apparently making about $28 million in NIL money during his time at Duke.
Good for him.
I ain't mad at him.
Way to go, dude.
Yeah. So he dropped a little segment, and I'm trying to figure out, like, what exactly Dave's getting at here.
Cooper Flagg and the amount of money he made at Duke, that he made $28 million in NIL, and he only played there a year before going to the draft. if he made $28 million and they're saying it's a combination of Fanatics money and New Balance money, he's got a sneaker deal, he's got a car deal, does that sound like the system's working or not working? If Cooper Flagg has companies who are giving him money, is it because he went to Duke for a year? What is the upside of going to Duke for a year for Cooper Flagg? I can't think of one reason. Like, oh, because the NCAA makes all this money from CBS and other networks for its March Madness tournament? And the fact that Charlie, I'm not quite Baker, said that we may go to 72 to 76 teams? It may not be right for everybody, but Cooper Flagg had no business going to Duke. If you are in the position where you're able to monetize yourself, why would you ever risk lack of performance or injury?
So what he's driving at here.
So he's not saying he wasn't smart enough to go to Duke?
No, what he's talking about is the fact that college basketball players got to go to college.
You know,
right?
You know what I got all out of all that is, why leave Duke? You did all that in 1 year. I mean, stay for four.
Why?
He's probably going. How much money will he make in his rookie contract in the NBA?
Irrelevant. His NIL money in a contract. His NIL money's endorsements. So take that and then an NBA contract on.
I get what you're saying, but I'm just going from a business standpoint. But the NIL, he's getting paid NIL stuff for being at Duke. So if he's no longer at Duke, he wouldn't get paid that, supposedly.
No, he's going to take that New Balance money straight to the NFL.
Well, the shoe stuff, yeah, I get that. Maybe the car dealership, whatever it is, unless it's a local car dealership. I don't understand the complaints about he made that much money in college. What, so?
That's, so here's the
that's
here's,
America. That's a, you can do that now.
Here is what Dave Sampson is talking about here. What Dave Sampson is talking about here is the obligation of Cooper Flagg to go to college for a year, to be a one and done. Because he's basically saying, while there is a very short list of, say, basketball players that this would apply to, a very short list of, say, football players that this would apply to, what he's saying, I think, here is the fact that it is mandated that these guys go play a year of college basketball before they are allowed into the NBA. Because again, I don't think there's going to be any, frankly, high school players that go straight to the NFL. But this is an NBA story.
Was this guy LeBron? Was this guy Kobe? Was this guy? I mean, talking
Cooper
about Cooper
Flagg would have been drafted straight out of high
would
school.
Would he really?
Yes,
because I hadn't heard of him until you know
he showed
Duke.
Up at Duke. Yeah. Cooper Flagg would have been drafted straight out of high school. Cooper Flagg was the dude that going into his year at Duke, everybody in America was trying to recruit this kid. And again, I don't think there are many Cooper Flaggs. I think they're like, at most, there might be one or two per year that are ready to go to the NBA straight out of high school. But the point here that I think Dave Sampson is making is the only reason that the one-and-dones exist, and I'm only saying this because I think it further drives home a point that I make all the time. The only reason that one-and-dones exist is because how much more compelling is Duke with Cooper Flagg, and how much more compelling is the March Madness tournament, the biggest moneymaker for basketball, with Duke, with Cooper Flagg? The answer is very. Like, we followed Duke through the tournament. Quick, take-home pop quiz edition of the Rob Brown Show. Name me another Duke player from this year. It's just that he's a compelling player. He's a compelling player. He's got a compelling history to him. He's obviously a phenomenal player. And so college basketball, just by having Cooper Flagg involved, inherently makes more money. The whole premise of one and done was never about, oh, let's make sure that these kids have 1 year of college to ensure that they're developed and ready for the NFL or for the NBA. You think a kid's showing up at Duke, playing 1 year of college basketball, and like that's life-changing for him getting ready for the NBA? As a kid that is 1 year older than a high school graduate? Probably not, right? Probably not. I think what you're looking at here is and I think what Dave Sampson is driving at here is just that reality that, as we say all the time, the decisions are always driven by the almighty dollar when it comes to college athletics. Part of the reason that I've said, even if the coaches all come out and say we like 5 plus 11, I would not put it past the administrators, the athletic directors, the presidents, and the commissioners of the SEC and the Big Ten to say, yeah, like, it's great that our coaches are all on the same page, but that's not what we're doing because it would cost us money. We can't have that. The whole premise of the one and done is inherently to make sure that a kid like Cooper Flagg makes money for the college basketball ranks before he gets shipped up to the NBA to start making more. By the way, just so we're giving you all the deets, Cooper Flagg's contract as a rookie is estimated to be a four-year, $62.7 million deal. So split 62 four ways. What are we looking at? 28-something million? I don't know. I'm bad at math, so all my jobs are words jobs. Let's say, no, not 28. See, I told you, I'm real bad. Whatever that number is. That many millions. But again, he had a $13 million deal with New Balance. He had a $15 million deal with Fanatics. There's your $28 million. That's coming with him. New Balance and Fanatics aren't going to drop the rookie who's going to have the most national games next year, the rookie who's going to be seen the most, heard from the most, et cetera, et cetera. So he's now going to take the entire $28 million that he made at Duke. And, oh, by the way, he's also got a $62.7 million four-year deal to work with down there as well. The point is that dude went to college specifically and solely so that he could make money for college basketball. Am I upset about it? I mean, like, not as much as I am when you guys are anti-NIL. I mean, a little bit, because again, I don't necessarily think I love a world where any particular person who has an opportunity to move into the highest echelon of the thing that they do, of the thing that they have trained for, the thing that they have committed themselves to, and are told, yeah, well, you know, you have the opportunity to get to the highest echelon of what you do, but we're not going to allow it. Why? Because we said so. You're not my real mom. You don't get to just say because we said so. At least that's not how it's supposed to work in these great United States of America.
If the boss says because I said so, what do? I know what I do. I say yes, sir.
Correct. Unless he says, what if I went to the boss and he said, hey, Rob, you're not allowed to, well, I can't even come up with a metaphor off the fly. The point here is, if it sucks what my boss says, first off, he can't legally mandate that thing to happen, right? And he can't stop me from calling up other radio stations and getting another job at the highest echelon of what we do, right? He can't stop me from that. And if he can't stop me from that...
Well, he could if he had a no-compete in your contract. I mean...
Most of the time, non-competes are market-specific.
Are they?
Okay. Yep, most of the time. I'm not saying that...
I've never been on a contract before, so I'll take your word for it.
Point here is, because the metaphor can only be stretched so far, when it comes to joining the NBA, because of the antitrust rules and exemptions that the NBA has, they are the highest level and they are the only level. And so if there was an NBA team that said, yeah, we'd draft you out of high school and give you a four-year, $62.7 million contract, but we're not allowed to. Now, I guess that's as much the NBA's decision, and it's kind of on them to some degree. But the point that I'm making here is decisions have been, always will be made based on the dollar bills and where they move, not on the best interest of anybody. Not players, not coaches, not fans. That's just a reality. The Rob Brown Show continues after this, the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We will be talking quite a bit of hockey over the next couple of weeks as the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs will be played out starting tomorrow. If it goes to Game 7, it will end on June 20th.
Yeah, I have a question since apparently I've been interrupting the entire show, but that's just what I do. If you had the opportunity right now to go to one of these finals, which one are you going to?
Stanley Cup.
So you're going to Stanley Cup above the NBA Finals.
Yep. And I love basketball.
I was going to say, would that differ if if the Pelicans were there?
Well, yeah, obviously.
That was hard to say.
Obviously, you know, that's the closest to a psychologically induced hallucination as I'd ever experience. So, no, I would go to the Stanley Cup playoffs over the NBA Finals. Now, that's not to diminish these NBA Finals. I'm actually really excited about them. I just think that if I was power ranking postseasons, college baseball is number one, NHL Stanley Cup playoffs is number two, just in terms of pure electricity. This is there's a couple of things that are interesting notes about this Stanley Cup that we should pay attention to. Number one, this is the 12th Stanley Cup Finals rematch in NHL history. It is the fifth in the expansion era, which dates back to the 1967-68 season. It is the first rematch since 2008-2009. The last two times that it happened, Pittsburgh and Detroit in 08 and 09, Edmonton and the Islanders in 83 and 84. In those series, Wayne Gretzky won his first cup. Sidney Crosby won his first cup. Of course, Connor McDavid is playing for the Edmonton Oilers. He has not won a Stanley Cup yet and is considered one of the best players in the game that is on first cup watch. We'll see if that plays out. The Panthers, after the conclusion of the Eastern Conference Finals, they have won it three times. This is their third time. They did so in 1996 and 2023. Florida did not touch that trophy. Last year, they won the Stanley Cup. The previous two times when the team did touch it, they did not lose the cup finals. So will that history continue this year. The Oilers did pick up the Clarence S. Campbell Bowl for winning the West. They did not touch the trophy last year, nor in 2006. They lost both of those Stanley Cup games in Game 7. Hockey's a stupidly superstitious sport, too. It's a super superstitious sport. In last year's Cup Final, the Panthers raced out to a 3-0 lead on an 11-4 aggregate, but then the Oilers outscored the Panthers in the next three, 18-5. That brought us to Game 7, ended with a 2-1 Panthers win. The game-winning goal occurred at 15-11 of the second period, Sam Reinhart's 10th of the 2024 postseason. The Panthers also have won both of their 2024-25 regular season games against the Oilers. They won 6-5 at Florida on December 16th. They won 4-3 at Edmonton on February 27th. The series is also very interesting because it features the top four picks from the 2014 NHL draft. Aaron Ekblad went number one to Florida. Sam Reinhart went number two to Buffalo. Leon Draisaitl went number three to Edmonton. And Sam Bennett went fourth to Calgary. It is the second final in NHL history where each of the top four picks from the same NHL draft dressed in at least one game for either team, joining the 2024 final last year, which included the same four players. Individual team notes. The Oilers play in the Stanley Cup for the 9th time. It passes the Flyers for the most Stanley Cup Finals appearances amongst the non-original six franchises. It ranks 7th overall in the NHL. Edmonton is the 8th team in the NHL's expansion era to reach the Stanley Cup Final despite losing their first two games of their opening playoff series. Why is that interesting? Because the other 7 times that it has happened, all 7 of those teams went on to win the Stanley Cup. Connor McDavid averaging 1.73 points, not goals, points per game against Florida in his career, including the playoffs. That is the highest average points per game against Florida by any player in Edmonton's history with a minimum of 20 games played. The other two names on the list that are in that discussion, Joe Sakic, Peter Forsberg, Mario Lemieux. You may have heard of those cats. Stuart Skinner, 6-1 in his past 7 starts with a 1.41 goals against average and a 94.4% save percentage with 3 shutouts in place. Over for the Panthers, the ninth franchise in NHL history with 3 consecutive Stanley Cup Final appearances and the 2nd in the past 40 years joining the 2020, 21, and 22 Lightning. Florida can also become the 10th franchise in NHL history to repeat as Stanley Cup champions and the 8th dating back to 1968. The Panthers enter Game 1 in Edmonton, having won their past 5 road playoff games, outscoring opponents 27-7 over those 5 games while going 6-14 on the power play. Over Florida's last 10 games, Sergei Bobrovsky has a 1.57 goals against average, a 93.5 save percentage, and 2 shutouts. He enters the Stanley Cup final with 57 career playoff wins, 2nd most behind only Andre Vasilevsky with an active score. So, what's this series breakdown like? Well, we'll start with this. We'll start from the back. We'll start from goalkeeping. Goalkeeping wins you Stanley Cups. Pretty much even. Sergei Bobrovsky has been fantastic. Stuart Skinner has been fantastic. I don't think that there is an edge in the goaltending department between these two teams. Bob has been big. But Bob had a couple of spots in these playoffs where he got to looking a little shaky. Sergei Bobrovsky is a cat that if you dump one in on him early, he can get a little bit shaky. If you dump one in on him early, he can get a little bit rattled between the pipes. That's Edmonton's, that is the key for Edmonton. They have got to get one past Sergei early, probably in each game. That's not easy to do because, again, Bobrovsky is a very good goalkeeper. But if you score early, he can get rattled. That is why that 93.5 save percentage is where it is and not closer up to 96, 97. Because he lets one in, he lets 3 in. That's just kind of the way it's worked so far. For Florida, I think the key is do exactly what you did to the Carolina Hurricanes. For Florida, it is be aggressive, be obnoxious, hit them late, hit them hard, hit them often. This is one of those spots there that I say, I do not like the way that the Florida Panthers play hockey. I think it is, to a degree, dangerous. I think it crosses a lot of lines. I think they go outside the lines very often. At the same time, much like I've said about SGA and his diving, if they're going to let you get away with it, do it, right? Like I've said with SGA and the diving, I don't fault Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for being a flop artist, for being a free throw merchant, if you wish to label him as such. I don't blame him for that. I blame the NBA. I blame the officials. If the NBA and the officials stepped in and said, hey, we got to be better about this. We can't let this guy just throw himself on the ground and be good for 2 points every time. Can't happen. Well, with the NHL, it's kind of a similar situation. If you are going to allow Florida to hit late, to hit hard, to hit often, to hit off puck, if you are going to allow Florida to play that style of hockey, why would anyone be shocked that they're playing that style of hockey? It has given them what they've needed to reach the Stanley Cup in back-to-back years. I said it the day they went and got him. That's why they got Brad Marchand up out of Boston. It's not because, and Brad's a very good player. Brad's a third-line player. Maybe on his best day, he's a second-line player. He's not a first-line player anymore. So why would they give up what they gave up to go get Brad Marchand? The answer is very easy. Because Florida wants to play the style of hockey that Brad Marchand has made a career out of playing. Florida wants to play the style of hockey that has made Brad Marchand a household name and ordinarily accompanied by a cuss word or two. They want to play that style of hockey. Brad Marchand plays that style of hockey better than maybe anybody has ever played that style of hockey. So you go get the guy to be your locker room leader. You go get the guy to say, look, this is how you do it. This is how you hit him so the ref ain't looking. This is how you hit him so it doesn't look like you're hitting him intentionally. This is how you hit him away from the puck. This is how you hit him late. This is how you do that. And so far, it's worked out for Florida. I say going into the Eastern Conference Finals against the Hurricanes. If the Hurricanes win, they are going to have to be remarkably disciplined. Because Florida wants to play bully ball. And they want to play bully ball so that they can get you out of sorts. They can get you off your game. They can get you in a spot where you do not know how to react. They can get you in a spot where you start hitting back late. They can get you in a spot where you start losing your cool. They can get you in a spot where you start making mistakes. And once they got you there, they've won the game. Carolina dropped 3 games in a row. After game 2, Rod Brind'Amour, excellent coach for the Canes. Rod Brind'Amour got on the mic and he said, we got to be more disciplined. We're letting them dictate the game to us. And it's not even between the whistles, right? Or it's exclusively between the whistles. It's not even while the ice is hot. We are letting them dictate the game to us in terms of physicality. And we are responding to their bull bleep. When they start acting a fool, we start reacting to it. And we got to stop. And they did for one game. And they won that game and they lost the series 4-1. Because in the last game, in game 5, when it mattered, they went right back to it. They started reacting. They started responding. They started allowing Florida to get in their heads. It is the exact same situation for me with the Edmonton Oilers. You cannot allow Florida to get into your head. You cannot allow Florida to dictate the physicality of the game. You cannot allow Florida to start earning extra power plays. Now, there is an advantage for Edmonton in that with the Canes, their penalty kill unit is remarkably similar to a first and second line unit for Carolina. Their penalty kill unit is basically the guys that they rely on to win the game, to score and win the game. And when you are sending those guys out for 8, 9, 10, 12 minutes of penalties during games, they're worn out. They're exhausted. They're tired. And I think you saw that in game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. I think you saw that in game five because you started to see late into that game a Carolina team that not only did not have its legs under it, a Hurricanes team that very clearly was exhausted, that very clearly was out of gas. But not only did that impact the hockey that they wanted to play, it impacted the hockey and the mentality of the team. You could see that it started to get increasingly less difficult for Florida to get those off-puck shots, to get those extra board shots, to get those behind the offense shots, to get those, the refs looking the other way because the puck's down there. Let me give this guy a little what on the side. And Carolina started to react. Would they give six power plays away in game five? Knowing, coming into that game, with Rod Brind'Amour, not Rod Brown, the other Rod, Rod Brind'Amour. Brind'Amour is telling the team, guys, cannot give up 10 penalty minutes, 12 penalty minutes, 14 penalty minutes. We cannot do it. If we allow them on the power play for 10, 12, 14 out of 60 minutes, we're going to lose to them because that's what they want. And when it gets to the point, and again, less impactful, not impactful, but less impactful for Edmonton because their penalty kill unit is a little bit different than their primary goal scoring unit. So they won't be quite as exhausted. But if it does get to where there are 12, 14, 16 penalty minutes in a game, Edmonton will be in trouble too. Because even if it's not your main dudes, number one, the more times you allow Florida to have a skater advantage, the more likely it is they are to net one. It's a good power play unit. And number two, even if your penalty kill unit is totally different than your frontline unit, than your primary scoring unit, you're still taxing them. They are going to run out of gas too. So for Edmonton, it is score early, and it is stay disciplined. Do not allow Brad to get you out of your sorts. Do not allow Brad to start giving you the extra hits that you try to get retaliation for, and you end up in the box. You cannot let that happen. If you do, you will suffer the same fate as Carolina. I think Edmonton will probably take it further into the series, but you will suffer the same fate as Carolina if you play it that way. As of today, I'm leaning Florida in seven. I reserve the right to change that up until the end of tomorrow's show because game one is tomorrow night. But as of right now, I've got a slight lean to Florida in seven. I do think they're a good enough front line, and I think their second and third lines are just slightly better. A, B, I think they can dictate the game because they've done it to everybody else. And until somebody shows me that they can't dictate the game, then I'm going to believe that they can. Give me the Cats in seven. Give me a world-class championship-caliber sports flash now.
Your request is denied. Novak Djokovic won his 100th career French Open, second behind only Rafael Nadal with a 6-2, 6-3, 6-2 win over Cam Nori. With a win, Djokovic makes his way into the quarterfinals at Roland Garros and has yet to give up a set in the tournament. The Women's College World Series is set, and for the first time in a long time, it will not feature Oklahoma. The Sooners were taken down by the Red Raiders of Texas Tech 3-2 in the semifinals. Waiting for Texas Tech are their in-state rivals, Texas, who knocked off Tennessee 2-0. The finals start Wednesday. The 2026 College Football Hall of Fame finalists have been announced, including on the ballot are Heisman Trophy winners Mark Ingram from Alabama, Cam Newton of Auburn, and Robert Griffin III of Baylor. AP National Player of the Year Ndamukong Suh is also on the ballot, joined by Eric Bieniemy, Dez Bryant, Kejana Carter, Marvin Harrison, Josh Heupel, James Laurinaitis, Ryan Leaf, Marshawn Lynch, and Peter Warwick.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.